Let's pray. Christ, thank you that you've risen. And Lord, I pray for every heart here that we would open our hearts to that message of resurrection, that your power would be alive in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. My name is Rob. I'm the lead pastor here at Faith Baptist. This is my second Easter here, and excited to be able to share another message with you all. I wanted to start off with a story today. This is a question for kids, okay? Who has ever played in a cardboard box before? Okay? Who has played on a trampoline before? Who has done both at the same time? All right, so I'm the youngest of four brothers, and so I got chosen to do some things, one of which was to crawl inside of a cardboard box on top of our trampoline. And the problem was that I kept falling out. And so if we go to this next slide, I'll show you. We're trying to see what it might be like to be a rocket ship, okay? And the thing that's not very realistic about playing rocket ship with a cardboard box is that it doesn't fly, unless you're on a trampoline. Then you fly. So I kept falling out, so they decided to get some duct tape. And they taped up the box, and then would bounce me. And my mother came out, and guess what she said? When she realized that one of her children is in the box on the trampoline getting bounced, "What are you doing?" Right? It was not a very good idea, okay? Our response, by the way, was, "We're having fun, Mom." Though now that I look back on it, maybe I really wasn't having the best end of that deal. But a lot of us live kind of a cardboard box faith. And at that time of my life, in elementary school and into junior high, I started wondering about my faith. Like, I would hear things on Easter about what happened in the past, but I wanted to know, where was the power in my life right now? Like, I knew that Jesus died and rose again, but I knew that I needed some help in overcoming sin and suffering, ultimately death. And I think I had a bit of a cardboard faith at the time. I don't think I fully understood the power of the resurrection that was at work in my life. And I don't know about you, but maybe you're wondering today, you know, maybe I can relate to that kind of cardboard faith. I've had a friend tell me before, you know, I'm not opposed to this Christianity stuff. It just seems too hard. I've tried it before and it didn't work. I didn't feel the power in it. Right? All I did was kind of get dizzy and jostled around in my cardboard box. I didn't feel like it really brought me to where it promised me to go. My message for you today is that the resurrection will bring you to where you need to go. That there is a power available to you through Jesus Christ today. So next I want to introduce you to the real thing, okay? A real rocket ship. And then we'll look at some real faith. And so this is the most powerful rocket ever built. Back in 1969, about 55 years ago, they have never made a rocket bigger than this one since then. This was the Saturn V rocket used in the Apollo 11 mission to send man to the moon. And you might be wondering, why are we talking about rocket ships, Pastor Rob? Well, there's some parallel here between this mission and the resurrection. Both used tremendous power, okay? both sent man to where it's never gone before, to only what we could peer over the horizon with our eyes, yet it sent man there and back again. This rocket ship was a football field long. It was 110 meters, over 6 million pounds, biggest payload ever sent into space. There was a promise by John F. Kennedy at the start of the decade that man would go to the moon. And in 1969, with not much time left to spare, they did it. And the world watched in wonder. Next slide, please. This is a photo of that shuttle taking off. Now, I want to show you a clip here, and as you watch it, I want you to think about the power it takes for something to rise. So let's watch this clip. I love that. Especially the noise. All right, when Jesus rose from the dead, it said there was a loud earthquake. And I'm pretty sure that God outdid whatever man has attempted to do. All of that power just to get to the moon, let alone the heavens. I want you to reflect on the power that it took for Jesus Christ to rise from the dead. So with that attitude, I want to show you the last chapter and a half of the Gospel of Matthew. As we get there, I want to show you that the powerful engine of our faith boils down to these three things: that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he was raised again. That transforms a cardboard faith into what you just saw right there. Something that's going to get you somewhere. Something that's going to fill you with the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave. And so in Matthew 27, we start a countdown, okay? Much like this shuttle was launched with a countdown, right? The T-minus 4 days is where we're going to start. And at T-minus 4 days, Jesus Christ died for our sins. We see here that he was stripped, and they put a scarlet robe on him. And they wove thorn branches into a crown, and they put it on his head, and they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. And they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. Much like an astronaut suiting up for a mission, Jesus Christ clothed himself in humility and humiliation. He had prepared himself in a sleepless night the night before, a night of agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that this mission would be a cup of suffering that he would drink. And so he suited himself up for service, for sacrifice, for you, knowing full well what was at the end of this countdown, knowing full well what mission this was, that it would cost him his life. The end of this verse, it says, they then led him away to be crucified. Verse 32. Here along the way, they came across a man named Simon. The soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Why did they have him do that? Because Jesus was already so weak, he couldn't carry it. The toll already was most severe, that the king of creation had been beaten, for your behalf, taking the punishment and wounds and stripes and bruises that you deserved, that he couldn't even carry his cross to the launch pad. And so they asked someone to help him carry that, and they went to a place called Golgotha, which means place the skull. It was there that they nailed him to the cross. Soldiers fought over his clothing, and they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. It's funny throughout the story how much they guard him, a man on a cross, a man in a tomb. It's as if something didn't want him to rise. And yet, Jesus willingly went to the cross. That last passage said that they led him there. It was his love for you that led him there, that he went to the cross. Scripture says that no one takes his life from him, but he lays it down willingly. They put a sign above his head saying, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And two others were crucified with him, one on the left and one on the right. Verse 39. People passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, these leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders, they also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Well, then let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he had said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Both groups mocked him and yelled at him to come down from that cross. But that was not his mission. He could have. When he was arrested, he told his followers, "Can I not command a legion of angels to come right now?" And yet his mission was to stay on the cross, because he wasn't coming down. He was going up. Verse 44. This shows how he was alone on this mission. Revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. And at about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" It's in this moment that I imagine Jesus as if getting into that rocket ship alone in the anticipation. All along, the anticipation would have been so hard for Jesus to handle. And as we read this story, as these scriptures go on the crucifixion, we are to wait in anticipation to say, what's going to happen next? Verse 50. Then Jesus shouted again, and he gave his life. He released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This signified that the people could now have access to God. It also showed people that behind this throne room curtain in the temple, God was not there. He was on the cross, paying the penalty for their sin. And here the earth shook. I don't think just a little bit, okay? When God shakes things, he shakes things. And so he shook the earth, and rocks split apart, and tombs broke open. Later on at the resurrection, it says, bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. What? We have power here this morning, folks. Power that you're not going to find in a cardboard box. Not in a salvation or a life of your own making, but we have power in the life of Jesus Christ that extends beyond himself to us who believe. Verse 54, the Roman officer and the other soldiers of the crucifixion, doesn't say that they were perplexed, but they started to debate theologically about Jesus. They were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They knew something was happening. They didn't know what necessarily, but they started to put their finger on it, saying, this man truly was the Son of God. The women watching, the disciples that were there, they probably also wondered, what is happening here? But not for a second did they doubt that something was happening. And now they're left for 3 days to wonder, what does this all mean? It's almost like the radio silence that happens in a space mission. As they cut through the atmosphere, the friction gets so intense that they lose contact, and they hope to see the mission successful on the other side. A similar dynamic happens here. Next slide, please. The clock down begins. T-minus 72 hours. So in the spirit of wondering, what does this mean to you? As you anticipate the death and the burial of Jesus Christ, I want us to take a moment to pause at this tombstone. Here it shows that he's buried. A man named Joseph came, went to Pilate and asked for the body. Pilate issued an order to release it to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth, and he placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and he left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb watching. And he was guarded. The next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive, that after 3 days I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This would prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." So Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. This next slide, please. So it's at this tomb that I'd like to give us about a minute or so. We can turn the lights down a bit. I want us to think about this death, this burial. How much is at stake for this mission to be successful and to get off the ground? How much anticipation there is. As you imagine, a T-minus clock down of 72 hours rolled by. So take this next minute, speak it and share it with the Lord. Promised long ago, a greater promise than JFK is that God was going to send the Messiah to save mankind through a power we'd never seen before. Through the power that created the world, he had the power to redeem the world. And as that countdown that was set from the beginning of the world struck zero, a power greater than that space shuttle rose Jesus Christ from the dead. This is how it's recorded in the scriptures. Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. Wonder what this lightning looked and felt like. We soften the gospel so much sometimes, but it says that his face shone like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying." I love how those guards were speechless. When they landed on the moon, the broadcasters didn't know what to say. How pale in comparison to God among us rising from the dead. And the women were terrified. Says here, "Now go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." So the women, they ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened but also filled with joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. Jesus himself. Tried to embrace him, and yet their knees gave way. They could only get to his feet. They grasped his feet and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." You see, when you're face to face with Jesus, you no longer have a cardboard box of a faith. There's a lot of people that give up on Christianity, but they're not rejecting the true Jesus. They're rejecting what they had made up in their mind about him. An image of Jesus that looks a lot more like us than him. And yet the true Jesus, you come face to face with him. And that is my prayer for this morning, that each of us would have that opportunity in your spirit to meet face to face with the living Jesus. My prayer is that that would change the power in your life. That there would be a real blast off in your ability to overcome sin, to overcome suffering, to come face to face with death and not fear, because you know that the same power of Jesus Christ that rose him from the grave lives within you also. Verse 11 here of Matthew. Here comes the cardboard box again. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. And if the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said that they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Just like the moon was claimed to be a hoax, conspiracy theories, that's what happened here. A lot of false messages about Jesus circulate abroad. And that's why you need to know him personally through his word about who he really is. Don't you dare reject a cardboard version of Jesus without investigating who he really is and the power that he can provide in your life. Verse 16. The 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority." Another word for this is power. Dynamite, explosive power. He has been given all of this power in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. He's sending his power to these people, saying, "Now you go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The message today is that that power that Jesus used to rise from the dead, he is giving and sharing with you. There's scriptures here I want to point you to. First one out of 1 Corinthians says that this message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, the person who's placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are being saved. The engine of the resurrection is lifting us out of our sin and out of our suffering and out of death. And it's a process. It's this bumpy ride sometimes. As we hold on to Jesus, we know he's holding on to us and not letting us go. You see, that power is not just some historical fact, but it's a being saved in this present moment power fact. It is happening in your life as you believe in Jesus. And this last verse mentions that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Lastly, we have another countdown that I'd like to point you to. call this T-minus question mark. And it could be soon. This could be the last Easter we celebrate on this side of heaven. We don't know. But he's coming back. And that countdown is planned. God knows the exact date and the exact hour. Are you ready for that? Whenever Scripture mentions this countdown, the emphasis is that you would get ready, that you would be awake and know what time it is, that you would prepare your heart for the coming of Jesus Christ to share in his power, in his glory, in his salvation, in his love, to be in relationship with him forever. Jesus Christ accomplished his mission to save all of mankind. As he stepped out of the tomb, it was one small step for man, but wasn't it a giant leap for mankind? Far greater than walking on the moon. It established a hope that we can have throughout all generations as we place the hope of history in his hands to bring us home, to join us together someday with our brothers and sisters in faith, our brothers and sisters and family that have trusted him, with parents and loved ones that we don't get to celebrate Easter with today. On this side of heaven, we know that they are celebrating the power of a risen Savior who has in turn risen them. So with hearts of hope, go celebrate this Easter with your families, with your friends. The heart of hope, place that power in the mighty power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the great power of our faith, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again, all according to your promise and all according to the Scriptures. We praise you for your power, O Jesus. Surge your power through our veins, Lord, that we might live the lives you've called us to live. I pray for our family and our friends that do not know you yet. Who claim it was a hoax. Reveal the power of your saving arm to them today. In Jesus' name.